Hi, I'm Chandra Mauli. I'm the CEO of TRA Research, a brand analytics company, and Blue Lotus Communications, a PR agency. The concept of social isolation is quite alien, even strange, to human beings. We have been living as socially connected beings from the very beginning of mankind. In herds, in tribes, we have even demarcated groups by language, by religion, that allow for the group to survive better. We function better in a socially connected environment. None of us is completely self-sufficient. As much as we are dependent on others, others are dependent on us. This interconnectedness is what creates interdependence. And this helps us survive better. This helps us with every situation that faces us in life. That's the importance of social connections. Whether it be for food, education, services, products that we need, we have somebody to supply it for us. We too offer the skill that we have back to society. This is the symbiotic relationship between a social group and man. Apart from products and services, we are emotionally, psychologically, spiritually connected to each other. In fact, often we only need the company of the other to be in a state of well-being. Well-being means that we are not only physically able, but also we are emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, and our soul is all alive at the same time. To be alive, arguably, one only needs food, water, shelter, and air. But in the current context of the work-from-home lockdown, we have much more than that. We have entertainment, we have friends we can speak with, we have connectivity. We can even see our loved ones and families thanks to technology. So now that we have much more than just what is needed for survival, is it not enough to keep us happy in this state indefinitely? Well, no, it's not enough. We need much more than connectivity over the phone, over an image that we see of the other. We need physical connections, and not just of one group that is currently the family, but much beyond that, the different social groups that matter to us. And in this, the organization plays an extremely important part, because a large amount of the mental constructs of the human being is dependent on the large amount of time that they spend at work. We not only spend more time, energy, but we also have many more connections at work, and therefore that interconnectedness at work matters the most. Let's extend the thought of this lockdown for, let's say, 3 months, for argument's sake. Many of us would shudder, most of us would start maybe even panicking, because extended periods of time will not only cause us trauma, but will put us in complete uncertainty, not knowing how or when this will end, or even how we should function in this particular scenario. 3 months is difficult. But let's, as an experiment, extend this for a period of 6 months in your own minds. Suppose the lockdown was for 6 months. Now that's a shudder, isn't it? Everybody would be scared. Panic would reign. There would be perhaps social unrest. It is not possible for us to indefinitely go on in the state of lockdown. Apart from the economy, apart from work, there are many more things that matter. And let's assume in the same experiment that work was continuing as usual, your clients were with you, your people were with you, you had the same kind of connectivity. Even then, the 6 months lockdown would be panic causing. That's because for a state of complete well-being of the body, the mind, the spirit, and the soul, we require many things more than just what we have currently. We need to have a sense of fulfillment. We need to have relationships. We need to have a sense of achievement. Much of this is best provided at work. Where a single organization is so intensely goal-focused that it aligns everybody towards the same goal, there would rarely be another social group which are so intensely focused towards a single goal. The intensity itself makes the mutual dependency of the employee on the organization and the responsibility of the organization on the employee extremely high. And the organization as a provider of the mental well-being of the employee is primary. In the social group called a firm or a company or an organization, you'll find very deep bonds between human beings, between employees. This is not necessarily hierarchical, not from bottom to top or top to bottom. It is actually like a neural network. This flows according to common interests, likes, common empathy, and other things that you like to do together in smaller groups that are sometimes quite invisible to the organization, but exist as the social force of the organization. These undercurrents of social bonds are even more strengthened because as an organization, people go through similar problems, similar solutions. They have joys together, they celebrate together, they probably are going through the same challenges together. This causes all to be aligned more and more. And therefore, the interdependence of the people on the organization and the organization on the people is high. Let's look at what organizations must do in order to impact the behavior of people such that their mental well-being is addressed, and at the same time, you find that the organization gets back so much more because of a more enthusiastic, more involved personnel. So I've been studying human behavior for long, liberally drawing from the experts that have been existing for eons, trying to align all behavior theories into one. And we will use this in order to try and understand as to how an organization can facilitate the mental well-being of its employees. So almost all theories state this, that the individual behavior of a person is dependent on the self interacting with the social. So there is an individual character, there is something that is unique to a person. That, when it interacts with several social groups, has an outcome that can be termed as behavior. But the individual behavior of each person, not just the employee in the current context, but you and me as well, the individual behavior is dependent on four things that we may loosely call inputs. If the behavior is the output, then this is the input. This is the making of the self. These four exist from birth right down to death, and each one is evolving continuously so that it keeps honing and keeps changing and keeps adapting to the environment, and the individual character subtly keeps changing as well. But we are not going to be discussing the four inputs here. We're going to be discussing the outputs, which is the behavioral outputs of each individual and what they're dependent on, and therefore what an organization can do today in order to be able to impact it in a positive sense. It is not only a role that the organization must play because it's important to the company's future, but it is also important for the well-being of the individual, and therefore the importance intensifies. These four behaviors of human beings, which I call mental constructs, can also be seen as the outputs, with individuality being the inputs and interaction with the society giving these four behavioral outputs. So these four behavioral outputs, which are extremely important for every individual, for them to feel liked, for them to feel fulfilled, for them to feel they've achieved. These are four important mental constructs that we must have as an output. Of the four, the first is purpose. Every individual requires purpose. Purpose gives you a sense of direction, the individual sense of direction. It can alone drive the person when the chips are completely down. When you have a sense of purpose, a person is individually led, internally driven, and therefore they can move into a state of mental well-being just with that. But when combined with the other three, it adds tremendous amount of strength in the mind. The second aspect is called belongingness, the reason that we all seek intimacy. In fact, it is not just in a one-to-one intimacy that we seek, but in a social group we need to feel belonged to. Imagine a situation when a small group of friends does not share a secret with you. You'll understand what I mean by belongingness by just that. You feel left out. It is the deep down childhood animal fears that creep up of being left behind. We all need to belong. There is no other social group better than an organization to create the first two. A sense of purpose and a sense of belongingness. Purpose directly leads to initiative. Belongingness directly leads to motivation. Just remember these two. The third is self-esteem. How I see myself in the mental mirror. How I judge myself. Do I see myself as a person who is worthy, who is not worthy? How do I see myself? These are important aspects in self-esteem. And this self-esteem is directly related to performance. High self-esteem has been shown in many cases in studies that have been conducted in schools, organizations, that if you have a high self-esteem, it is directly related to performance. The fourth aspect, again a very important part of what creates hierarchy, is about social worth. It's about how high or low I see myself on the social ladder. It depends on the social group. I may feel highly worthy in a friend circle. I may not feel highly worthy in a family circle. I may feel very, very good in a college friends group, but I may not feel the same in an organizational friends group. All this is about social worth. Like all the other four behaviors, they have a good extreme and a bad extreme. A good extreme of social worth, which is not very high, may lead to a high sense of competitiveness. A low social worth, this may lead to depression and something that a person may not be able to overcome. So all these four mental constructs, all these four behaviors is what we are attempting to impact today. Your employees, those you've been calling assets so far, are going through a huge amount of problem. Try and look at it from their point of view. So they are working from home for an extended period of time, which they are completely not used to. Working in an environment in which there is the family, there are connectivity issues, the phone's not working, the background noise, them not being able to contribute enough because they don't have all the technology that they used to at the workplace. This is one part of the problem about the work-related contributions and the problems that impinge on it. But there are other problems as well. One is that of the fear, the general fear of their own health, that of their family and loved ones. Them being able to contribute at home, because in this time, everybody in the family knows that they need to contribute. They can't be the only ones who are concentrating on work while the rest of the family provides. The third is the fact that there is a general sense of panic and fear about their own futures, the uncertainty that the future holds for all of us. And then there is also the organizational insecurity, which cascades from the top to the bottom about the clients, about the future, about the quality of work that's coming through and the like. All these people are sitting at home and wondering as to what the future holds. As the extension of the lockdown happens, the fear further worsens. So the responsibility of the organization is far beyond just that of work. It is to ensure that the employee, the person who's working from home for your company, is able to overcome the current challenges in a fashion that they come out mentally stronger, mentally more stable, with a lot more sense of well-being in their physical, mental and spiritual sense. It is extremely important that the organization contributes towards that. All those put together and the organizational interactions make up the complete mental construct or the behavior outcome of the employee. Theirs is an onus with far more responsibility than when the people were coming at work. This situation puts the employee's mental well-being burden completely on the head of the organization. Therefore, the organization must look at many innovative ways in order to increase these four essential mental constructs of the employee, which is to do with purpose, belongingness, self-esteem, and social worth. While this will be quite instructional to the HR and personnel teams, I'm quite confident that this will work for any organizational head and of any person of authority or a person leading teams. You should look at this from a point of view of actually building such bonds that result in much stronger individual, much stronger team, and therefore a much stronger organization. Let's come to the four mental constructs or the outputs that we so require. The first was purpose, a very important thing for a person to feel that they have achieved or they are achieving. So purpose directly correlates with initiative. So when you look at initiative, it often means by one's own initiation. And that's not what you want to impact as an organization. You cannot impact that. What you can do is facilitate initiation. There are many ways to do that. And to create a sense of purpose, the following would be quite useful. Let me draw upon what one could do such that people will start feeling a sense of purpose. So the five things that will help build purpose is to create personal and team challenges, rewarding the change makers, providing room for experimentation by the people is to create exciting goals, and above all, making it fun. And now you're going to wonder, how do we do all this in the current time? Let me give you an example. So what we've done in an organization is, in normal times, we usually have an annual award called Golds. But in this current context, what we did was we created a concept known as the lockdown goals. It started a few days ago and it requires all the employees to take initiative within this to be awarded for the goals. All of it has an outcome, which means they have to present their outcomes in terms of a film. Naturally, it has some exciting prizes at the end of it, which is what makes it more fun. There could be many initiatives which combine together to make a larger one. Each organization has to build such a solution that suits it best. It is important that the five elements be combined in such a way that the outcome gives a sense of purpose. The second mental construct that the organization needs to build and therefore enhance is belongingness. It's not just belongingness to the organization, but the general sense of belongingness of the individual to everything. This current context of work from home isolation creates a very strong sense of alienation, separatedness from others. We are used to the physical touch, smile, a nod, a pat on the back, which is all missing today. These are all reinforcements of belongingness. A comforting word is as important as a benign hug. All this is missing, and therefore you have to find other ways, probably by the use of technology, in order to be able to enhance the case of belongingness. The first criteria, let me mention, is that in this period, whatever initiative you take as an organization, do not bring in any negative reinforcement. I know that you must be worried as an organizational head or an HR head about productivity, about the outcomes, about how much of value your people can provide at this time. But this is not to be done with negative reinforcement. Today, all the reinforcement have to be positive. Our organization did a canine equine training course for our people, where we had 20 untrained dogs and 20 untrained horses, where we had to interact with and bring out an outcome. In the canine course, each team had to take in a dog and teach it how to dance within 1.5 days. The whole story is that of when to give reward, when to give reprimand. The reprimand is extremely few and far in between, and it may happen only in the extreme of cases. But otherwise, the way you make a whale jump through a hoop is by positive reinforcement, which is what we are talking about today. Belongingness will come first from a set of interactions that are positive oriented, that are reinforcing to the person, that allow for a person to engage irrespective of designation or role. It allows openness, and the openness allows for trust to flow, and this trust builds belongingness. This is the relationship that you want currently with your people. This will last you in good stead in the long term as well. Surprisingly, there will be another thing that might come to light, which you may find oddly within this particular bracket, which is the power of gossip. Gossip is essentially sharing irrelevant, non-contextual things to a person of sufficient intimacy, such that they feel that they are exchanging verbal dialogue and expressing themselves. They are moments of expression. In an organization, this usually happens in the chai, sutta time. When you go out for your breaks, when you're out in your lunch time, at that time you have this informal banter, this exchange that's continuously happening. And this is a very essential part of the social glue which is necessary for you to build. This is a non-agenda talk. This is the gossip talk. This is what's happening in your colony, what your probably mother-in-law did if you want. So this belongingness also comes in from the pat on the go, the smile, the casual comment is no longer possible. And therefore, you have to create engagements like that which allow this to happen. For this, the 2D video interaction is a far better tool than the telephonic audio interaction alone. Humans relate to other humans through expressions on the face. As an organizational head, and as a team leader, and as a project manager, I urge you to lower your guard. In normal times, your personality may be different, and it may be warranted at that. But in this current context, your empathy, your sense of relatedness to the emotional state of your people will matter the most. Do you understand and feel what they are going through? Do you understand and feel their challenges? The third outcome, mental construct, or behavior that you want to influence in your people is that of self-esteem. Self-esteem is extremely important. It has a direct relatedness to performance. From school children to organizations to other social environments, these studies have been done where they see that self-esteem directly impacts performance. So if you want performance, you definitely need self-esteem. The rule of engagement during this time is public applause, private reprimand. That too only if you have to. There are other skills which one may have been forced to adapt to due to the extended work from home. And I know of some who have turned into great chefs from not knowing how to cook at all from the previous past. There is this one skill that everybody has that nobody knows about. At least at work, nobody knows about. You might have been working with them for a dozen years, but you still do not know what skills they have. And this would be the right opportunity for the organization to build that out and extract that out such that the whole organization can see it and applaud to it. Self-esteem also builds by one thing, by learning things that are new. If you are able to create opportunities within the current time where a person is incentivized to learn any skill or take any initiative during the lockdown period, and they end up even achieving part of that, you would have found that you would have instilled a high amount of curiosity in the person, you would have instilled a high amount of happiness in the person, and all this resulting from a rise in self-esteem. That is the next step. The fourth and the last mental construct or behavior that you want to impact is to do with social worth. In its extreme best, social worth gives you a highly competitive person who will improve themselves at every given competitive engagement. At its worst, it can also go the negative. The very facing of the competition can give you jitters. So it is important that you build in a high sense of social worth in the person currently, such that they are able to face such challenges. So create artificial competitive environments, which will help the person face their competitive fears, understand their own social worth. It's like a sport. Create it like a sport. It could be work-related activities, but gamify it. The minute you gamify it, the sense of loss is not that high when a person loses, but when a person wins, the sense of gain is extremely high. So do try that. It will change the way your people interact with the organization. Once their social worth goes up, they will be able to take leadership, they will be able to take new experimentation, they will be able to be inventive in their own work. Their creativity will change dramatically. Their openness will change dramatically. If they understand that their social worth in the organization is high, and the engagement of the organization will also change in equal measure. Most of the organizations would call their people a human asset. It is not untrue that they are your assets. In fact, they are your biggest assets. If your people are in a state of mental well-being, balance, and in a state of orientation towards the future in a positive way, your whole organization will come out of this in a positive way. This is Chandramouli signing off. All the best, stay well, and stay safe. Thank you.